Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Oddcast Podcast, episode number 8. Woo!
Woo! Yeah!
All right. Yeah. We got a new lineup, and mostly new lineup of guys here today. We will start with
Peter,
Matt,
John, Luke, Picard,
Scott. How's everybody doing?
Thank you,
and
Scott, for having personality.
Julian.
We're going to start off somber.
I mean, a little pizzazz.
Did you want zing?
And I'm Jared. I'm hosting today. And it appears that John Luke will go first with his topic.
My topic is dream jobs.
Oh, really?
So interesting. My dream job doesn't actually exist because it's my dream job. But I want a hybrid between an office slash delivering stuff, because that's kind of cool. And I don't know, it's just like a big jumble of stuff. Just not staying in the same spot the whole time.
Like working, moving around? Like
moving around a little bit.
Working in an office environment, but delivering stuff.
A mobile office environment.
Are you your own boss?
There's an office in a truck that moves.
We bring the accounting office to you.
And you always have amazing internet and never drop out.
Are you your own boss in this scenario?
I am my own boss.
5-hour coffee breaks as well.
Is there a coffee pot in this?
There's actually 7 coffee pots.
I don't know, because you microwave your coffee.
You microwave your coffee?
I do not microwave
my
coffee.
He doesn't. I'm just messing with him.
Oh, okay.
To clear this up, I use instant coffee.
What?
I do.
I just threw up.
I'm sorry. We're getting off topic.
Just threw up. Disgusting.
Going off the rails a little.
That's kind of what happens, though. It's pretty normal.
Yeah. Okay. Going back to dream jobs. We're going to go around the room, and you're going to state your dream job. Scott's next.
My dream job, for as long as I can remember, has always been to be a voice actor, whether for like cartoons or video games or a TV show or something like that.
Do a voice imitation right now, Scott.
I can't just turn it on.
Do Bugs Bunny.
It's like telling somebody to say, "Hey, be funny."
No,
just kind of put them on the spot.
Hey, left.
Whoop-de-doo.
No, because I don't know. I was in theater for a long time in school, and
drama club.
I like just I like playing roles and whatnot, and I think I have a pretty decent range as far as acting goes and being able to do different voices. And it's the kind of job where I would do it for free just because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
No,
after your side point, I got a side point.
Well, I was gonna
I don't want to just ramble. We'll go
I was going to ask, though, if it's your dream job, would you have to get paid for it? Like, because you love doing what you're doing, would you mind doing it for free? Like,
wouldn't that be called a hobby?
I would.
Well, job entails getting paid for labor. So you do get paid.
Like, it's like, I will let you do this work, your food, your housing, and all your necessities will be covered
for.
Well,
you're getting paid for that then, right?
Well, you're being
compensated. That is some sort of payment.
Compensated.
But you're not getting paid with money.
Right, like.
Okay.
That's I would.
Okay.
Yeah, I totally would.
Probably.
Just because if you like what you're doing, it doesn't feel like work.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
True. So my side point was, I don't think I've ever told it to anybody. When I was pretty little, I wanted to be a Foley artist.
Dude, Foley
is... Oh, cool.
What is a Foley artist?
In movies where they have the random sounds that pop up,
There's
people in a studio like banging stuff to produce
okay,
the sounds.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I kind of wanted to do that, but it's a lot of work. It's like you have to have a really big imagination.
It's a fascinating process. Like I first learned about Foley, believe it or not, watching like the Brother Bear like DVD extras.
I saw it on Spider-Man 2 DVD.
And there was a scene where like one of the bears got like caught in a trap and he was like hanging from a tree. It was pretty funny. And so they showed the studio where they were filming it,
and
it was
bear
literally
got murdered,
too.
So yeah, it wasn't that funny.
It was
no
too.
No actual bears
what?
Were harmed in the filming.
Oh, he did?
No,
that's the director's cut
the director's
of the movie.
Cut. To sort of simulate the sound of the tree branch swinging, they had like an old chair and they would move the legs back and forth, and it made sort of like that's essentially what Foley is.
Mm.
But yeah, it's cool stuff.
Okay, who's next?
I think I'm up next, right?
Yeah. You're next.
Yeah, Julian.
All right. Well, my favorite hobby, which is filmmaking and making narrative films, specifically short films, and I would love to be able to do that for work. But the thing is, if you're filming, like, you usually don't get to produce the stories that are in your head. You have to work for a director. You have to work for a company or something like that. So if I could just make the stories that I write and that I come up with and that I pick the people for it and I do all that, that'd be the most fun. Like freelance filmmaking.
Like independent.
That's a yeah. whole lot
So you
of work.
Basically want to be both the
director producer,
and the
writer.
Producer
yes.
and the writer.
Exactly.
You want to be the movie maker.
I just want to make movies. And if I could get paid for that, like, that'd be awesome.
Hey, you sell it to... Take it to Sundance. Maybe somebody will buy the screenplay. Take it to
Bad Robot.
Yeah.
Is it my turn?
It is your turn.
Go for it.
Something involving animals, just in some capacity. I really enjoy hanging out with animals, more so than people sometimes. Mm-hmm. Animals don't lie to you or hurt your feelings.
I have several cases where I can prove you wrong.
I was actually betrayed by my animals.
I had a dog who actively conspired against me.
I was stabbed in the back by my beta fish.
He hacked my Instagram.
Yeah.
Oh, it's my turn?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, I'm going to kind of throw a wrench into this. And I'm just going to say my dream job is to be Scott's boss and make him hate his job.
Wow.
I changed my job to that.
That one.
That's an interesting challenge. Kidding.
Explain how would you do that?
Yeah.
Know. It's your turn now.
How do you... moving right past it.
You do kind of have to elaborate a tad.
Yeah, you do.
Well, you don't have to, but we're making you.
Because it's not like I'm sitting across from you.
Just harassing Scott in the booth, sound booth, just yelling at him.
Just berating me.
You're not good enough.
Then you know what? I'm only going to take projects where that's my motivation.
Hmm.
Where it's like the character you're playing has no self-esteem.
You trying to one-up
and
you're, my...
Yeah. Because I got to work with what I get. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to take this personally.
Okay.
My dream job would be any job that has a good salary and keeps food on the table.
He's humble.
Beware
realistic.
What you wish for.
Very humble.
Yeah.
That's a humble answer, though.
It's a very humble answer.
He did just read that from a fortune cookie, though, so I mean...
He did.
Or, like, if I could make my daily routine, like, I get paid for it. Just wake up and...
So you want to get paid to do nothing?
Yeah.
Just live
what is your daily routine?
You say I do nothing? Are you saying I do nothing day, every day?
That's not what I
that's
meant.
That's a lot of people's daily routine. Is getting up to go to work.
You're not actually...
You have, like, an exciting daily routine
you'd
like to elaborate on?
You're not actually being paid to do a job. You're just...
So you just... Money's just being given to you?
Yeah, you just get a check in the mail and that's it.
I mean, sounds illegal.
I mean, that's what Bill Gates does, right?
No, Bill Gates built an empire.
He did something for that.
He built an empire.
Yeah, but now he's just...
He's resting on his rolls now when he's
old. Yeah, it's called retirement.
Yeah.
Oh.
Then
retirement.
Oh, I just want to retire.
So you just
want
to retire. Without working.
Solid answer.
But you have to have worked to achieve retirement and still be alive.
Why, are you saying I'm not going to live past 50?
I don't know.
That's exactly what he said just now.
I mean, his lack of motivation kind of did that on his own.
True.
Got a little too real too quick for me. Yeah.
It escalated very quickly.
This is why we can't have siblings on the podcast.
I know.
Yeah. To counteract my dream job, like the harshness of my job, I would be your boss, but I would get paid less than you.
That kind of balances
that's,
it
I'm
out.
Cool with that then. Because I can go to sleep at night knowing, I'm like, yeah.
Good. Because I was kidding.
That's it's also part of his job.
The bank doesn't know that
no
you're
way.
Kidding.
I'm taking all the money.
It's mine now.
That's all right, because I would do it for free.
Is that like a four-year degree, like the job you'd have, or is like...
Yeah, how much schooling would you have to be to just
be his boss.
To torment
no,
me? Not
just,
a lot. You wouldn't need
add,
a lot of schooling to torment
add,
me.
It's very easy to
just
know
to
what's
add
Scott.
To the insult to injury, I just got it.
Mm-hmm.
He
just walked in one day and
he walked
like,
into
hey,
a room and said,
you're
hired.
Can I just emotionally break that guy?
Can I try my hardest to make that
guy? And they're just like, oh, yeah, sure.
I went to school for 7 years, and I just walked in, and guess what?
Surprise.
Get to work.
Who's next topic?
The Nintendo Switch.
Boo.
Console. Oh, snap.
Oh, yes. We got an immediate boo.
Yeah.
What's
the crowd falls
like
silent
Nintendo?
As the two men stare
like
each other
Nintendo.
Down.
I kind of like Nintendo. I really don't like... This is just me personally. I don't like the handheld setup. I don't like the way the buttons are laid out. I don't like the way the controller feels like I'm going to break it.
Of the Switch? And, like,
of the Switch.
Or, oh, okay.
Of the Switch. I like...
Matt's getting ready.
Oh, Matt's winding up.
I've tried different
like
configurations exactly. with the controllers. I just cannot get comfortable with it at all. Even with the additional controller, just the layout of the buttons mixed with the controls doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, yeah, that's reasonable.
It's about to get
the
real.
The Joy-Cons break like 2 weeks after buying the Switch.
The way Matt plays.
Oh, yeah, I play aggressively.
He's always losing and he gets mad.
He just breaks him in half.
The Nintendo 64 controller was an abomination.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. As much as I love the N64.
Honestly, yeah.
That was, that was like the triangle. The trident, excuse me.
Basically,
it was a trident.
Had a joystick like right in the center that you didn't really...
It was for people who had three hands.
Yeah.
Well, if you had...
all those people. They had a whole separate stick for just the D-pad.
Yeah. There were buttons on that thing that I'm still finding to this day.
Yeah, I'm an Xbox fan.
Same.
Not excluding Nintendo, because it's kind of its own entity in my mind. But if I'm given the choice between PlayStation and Xbox, I prefer Xbox.
Why?
I have both.
Why? That's what I'm used to. I mean, I had a PS2, then I had an Xbox, then I had a 360, and I've simultaneously played PS3.
So you just don't like the DualShock controller itself?
I think it's just that.
It's uncomfortable.
This is a preferential thing. Whether
it's not just the controller, the handheld controller. It's just what I'm used to.
The way it works.
Yeah, yeah. It's what you've been playing for so long. You get used to it. It's like anything else. It sits in your hand better. I'll say that.
It's like the PlayStation controllers are a bit narrower and a little bit more jagged, so it doesn't rest as well, whereas the Xbox is just like almost a solid piece and rounded. It just kind of nests in your hand more.
Have you seen the new PlayStation controller that's coming out? Like the definitive...
It's like an Xbox controller.
It's an Xbox controller. So they're PlayStation's definitive version
it's
of
the only
controller
you'll ever need, and it's
an Xbox
controller.
If you could have an Xbox controller for the PlayStation, would you consider it?
I mean, I don't play video games that much anymore as much as I used to. If I honestly played video games as much as I did and actually compared the specs, I might. Because I know PlayStation specs for a while were better than Xbox's specs, but now they're kind of neck and neck with the Xbox One Plus. Other than Xbox exclusives or PlayStation exclusives...
It's getting to a point where that's as far as hardware goes, that's what it's going to come down to,
is the exclusives,
which everyone has. And lately, I mean, Microsoft did really good at E3 as far as rolling out exclusive titles, but PlayStation is dominating so far on that general front.
You're right with that.
Xbox is better for multiplayer, in my opinion.
Are you talking online or are you talking split screen?
Both. I'd say both, yeah.
Who's a PC Master Racer in here?
If a TNT exploded on Minecraft on my computer, then my computer will explode with it.
Because of the frame rate?
you ever love doing that, just building a whole city of TNT just to crash the server?
Yeah.
That's so much fun. Well, for you, it's like one block, but for the rest of us, it's like...
Yeah, exactly. I run Minecraft at a solid 30, 20 FPS.
Oh, that's disgusting.
I will say,
I
don't run on PC, but if I could, I would.
You know, for me, if I played games on PC, I'd plug an Xbox controller in.
That's what a lot of people do.
Honestly, mine as well. The best controllers you could have are on PC because they're more responsive.
That's true.
And more customizationable.
Customizable. That is true. You know, you have more to work with on a PC keypad.
Oh, for sure.
Key mapping.
But for me, it's just comfort with gaming because the whole WASD and right hand on the mouse, it makes sense. It's more responsive. But I don't know. A controller is what gaming is for, in my opinion. Like, you have to have a controller to play a game.
Honestly, consoles are better for, like, relaxing and playing games, because you can just take your controller and lay down and just play anything. But PC is, like, if you're competitive, or if you really want to delve into a video game.
I want to see someone lay down with a PC setup.
I have, actually.
In their bed and just play.
Or just put the laptop on top. You get a pillow.
I play games on my laptop. I'm literally laying down flat like this. Just with my feet up.
The only way I could honestly think about PC gaming is if I made it a career, which is why I don't do it.
Yeah.
It's like, true. If I'm going to do this, I get upset about how poor I am at this because I'm not spending time on it. But if I'm not doing, if I'm not benefiting positively from this, it seems pointless. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Now, I'm bitter. You know why I'm bitter?
Why are you bitter?
Because the Joy-Con controllers are so tiny and I have big Donkey Kong hands. So I hold it, and it's like I'm holding on to
exactly.
a little thing. I'm like, I'm going to break this thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's why I can't play with a Switch.
I can play it, like, with the Switch controller or stuff like that. I don't mind it. The Joy-Cons are fun. I just wish it was a little bit bigger. Just a little bit bigger.
Dude, we should talk to Nintendo and be like, can you make Donkey Kong-size controllers, please?
Yeah, I feel discriminated against, honestly. I'd
probably just make Donkey Kong, like, themed controllers instead.
There was a game I used to play. It was called Firefighters, and it was basically, like, on the Wii, you were a firefighter. And, like, it was a really cool game. It was a first-person perspective firefighter game.
Have you seen the did you guys remember the little attachments you can get for your Wii Remote for Wii Sports where it's, like, a tennis racket or a golf club?
Yeah.
Remember those?
Yeah.
Or, like, a baseball bat? Yeah. That was cool.
Never used them.
Me
neither, but I always wanted to.
They were cool.
Do you guys like board games?
Oh,
I do like board games.
I love board games.
I love tabletop games.
I love Clue.
I like Clue.
Oh, Clue, bro.
Don't get me started on Clue with you, John-Luc.
Dude, Clue is...
Don't get me started on Clue. Okay, listen.
Tell the story.
I'm Bruce Wayne at Clue. So let me tell you guys a story.
You're traumatized?
Lay down?
No. So this guy right here sitting directly to my right.
For
those listening in, this man right here sitting to my right. I've never played Clue before. And I'm like, dude, I love Clue. Come over to my house, we'll play some Clue. we'll detective our way out of this thing.
Yeah.
So all right. So we're playing Clue, so I'm breaking down the rules to him and all this and that. He's like, okay, it seems fun. This guy walks into his. He takes his little piece. I forget who you were playing as.
Colonel Mustard. Colonel Mustard.
The point is.
I knew you'd pick
the whole
Colonel
summary
Mustard.
Of the story is.
You're just that kind of guy.
He guesses all three of the things on his first guess in his first game of Clue ever. So he walks in, he's like, hey, was it Professor Plum in the hall with the knife?
No.
And then we go around the table. Nope. 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 It's like six of us. And he walks to the middle. We open up the little case thing.
Yep. Boom.
Colonel Mustard in the hall with the knife.
So what? Is that just pure guesswork?
Yes.
Yeah, he literally took
and
a shot
fair,
in the dark.
My first actual game that I actually started... I didn't know how it worked exactly correctly, right? So I guessed what was in my hand. I'm like, nobody
that
got it?
True.
Okay,
that
I'm going to guess that.
You guessed what was in
and
hand.
And it was completely wrong, obviously. But the second game, my first actual real game,
yeah.
I got it.
That's pretty
wow.
cool.
Wow. That's really impressive.
And Scott is still salty.
Yes, I am.
He's highly salty.
Animals. What animal are you, John Luke?
I am most definitely a sloth.
I was literally going to say you're a sloth.
There is no question about that.
Or a koala. A sloth or a koala?
Sloth.
No, he's a sloth.
I'm a sloth.
I mean, koalas sleep like just, 20 hours a
I'm
day.
I'm just a sloth. All right. Sloth.
But I mean, if you're a koala, you have a pouch.
I don't want a pouch.
Okay.
I'm a sloth.
John Luke's like, sloth, decided. Content,
like,
move
no, it's
on,
okay.
next,
yeah.
go.
Like, this has yeah. been established.
This is a fact.
It is canon.
There are many
it is kosher.
It.
This is a kosher decision. Scott?
I don't know. You guys tell me.
Yeah, same for me. I don't know.
I can see it was a grizzly bear.
Grizzly
big old,
bear.
Big old grizzly bear.
Yep.
Didn't do like nothing. It. I'm that grizzly. You ever seen that video of that grizzly bear that waves at people?
Yep. Yes.
That's me. I'm that bear specifically.
I like it.
But hey, he's just waving at him, doing his little wave thing.
Grizzly like bears it. Are huge. Went to a zoo once. They're like as no, like it's sort of like the size of a minivan.
Yeah.
I'm definitely some kind of shark. I'd like to say great white, but that's not.
I can see he's like a mako.
No, I'm not fast enough to be a mako. I'm like a thresher shark.
Because
I like the tail. You ever see a thresher shark's tail?
Yeah.
No.
It's cool.
Nope.
It's basically a whip.
Ooh.
An underwater whip.
So you're basically Indiana Jones, but a shark.
Yeah. Okay. That's me. What are you?
Got him.
I'm Indiana Jones.
You know.
Just to...
What animal are you?
Just,
Indiana Jones.
Just throwing it out there.
Regardless of the conversation, I'm always Indiana Jones. My animal is a hawk, because they're majestic and beautiful. Kind of
okay.
like myself.
Well,
I second that.
And they can fly.
Just
and
like me.
Just like myself. I mean,
just
I said
like
too much.
Me.
They know too much.
Matt.
I'm endangered.
Matt's a meerkat.
Turtle.
I want to be. Yeah, I want to be a turtle.
What kind of turtle?
A tortoise.
A tortoise? You can't swim?
They can live 200 years, and they just do absolutely nothing. I want to venture the world 1 mile per hour at a time and sleep, and then...
Call yeah. it a day. All right, my topic is what movie would be better as a musical?
I like this one.
This
personally,
cool.
I think Jurassic Park would be Ooh. Funny, but hear me out. The dinosaurs sing, too.
No,
that would
yeah,
be amazing.
No, you just got to go all out.
I'm
the
a
dinosaurs sing. It's a story about just loving animals. And
Spielberg did say these things are not to be treated as monsters; they're to be treated as animals.
Yeah,
I never perceived them as monsters.
I did. Did you see the movie?
Except T-Rexes. T-Rexes are scary.
Let's not talk about the new movie, because the new movie was...
Oh, the new movie was horrible.
I loved it.
Get out.
No, it
Get
was...
Get out. That's my favorite
Get
movie
out.
Ever.
So I have Jurassic Park as my choice. We also have The Incredibles, Sharknado, and The Emoji Movie.
Emoji Movie?
Really?
Who wrote that?
Emoji Movie.
I wonder who wrote that, Matt.
Who wrote that?
I don't know.
Okay,
I thought this was completely anonymous.
As John Luke runs,
it
and
was actually mine.
As John
Sweat
Luke
me the whole time.
Got him.
As John Luke runs and starts scribbling out all of his opinions on other people's sheets.
Like, can I see you guys' papers real quick? This is unrelated.
Who else has seen the Emoji Movie other than Matt?
Nobody.
I've seen like 5 minutes and then I fell asleep.
Oh. Yeah.
But
yeah.
you would have seen it if it was a musical.
Maybe nothing compelled me to watch it in the first place.
Same.
But if it were a musical, I'd
well,
be.
Well, wasn't the question what movie would be better as a musical?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, just from the trailers, I can tell that movie's a complete 100% hot garbage train wreck. So,
and I will agree that if it was a musical, it would at least be slightly entertaining.
It would.
Yeah, because what are the chances that there wouldn't be one catchy song in there?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Let it go.
I hate Frozen, but
at least
Let It Go is catchy.
Yeah. No, it's not.
I gotta admit.
You should get Lin-Manuel Miranda on any project.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, honestly.
He'll sell it.
That bother. Okay, well.
What?
I like his early stuff. Like, because I was into theater, too.
Hmm.
I like In the Heights. But I didn't like, Well, I don't like the fact that he's in Mary Poppins.
You don't like that he's in Mary Poppins?
I do not like the fact that he's in Mary Poppins.
I didn't hear about that.
I mean, I like some of his music. I don't know. I just feel like any other male actor would have been better in that role than what he's doing in Mary Poppins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's he playing in Mary Poppins?
Who did Dick Van Dyke play?
That one
guy?
That one guy. That's his whole character.
He was that one guy.
That one guy.
I'm not invested in Mary Poppins enough to...
Well, I mean, I feel really bad because it's like my mother's favorite movie and I've seen
different.
It before.
Yeah, that's different. Mm-hmm.
But it just seems like Lin-Manuel Miranda just doesn't fit that character.
I'll take your side.
Who saw the Jungle Book? The remake of the Jungle Book?
I
saw it?
Yeah.
I did.
That same guy that directed that, Jon Favreau.
Yeah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's
directing The Lion King.
The new one.
Really?
My favorite Disney movie
of
all time.
Wait, Jon Favreau?
Yeah.
How did you feel he did on The Jungle Book?
He directed the first two.
I
did too, actually.
I absolutely love The Jungle Book.
So, about this Lion King, is it going to be, like, it's going to be animated and stuff? Just like
no.
this? Or what?
It's, if I'm not mistaken, I mean, they haven't released anything for it other than the cast. But so far, if we can assume anything, it's going to be in the same visual style, more or less, as The Jungle Book. Like,
but there were no humans
lines.
In... The Lion King, so there's no live action.
So basically live action CG.
Like super realistic CG.
I get you. Okay.
Hyper realistic CG.
Kind of like
CG.
Life of Pi, how the tiger looked. I think they said about half of that movie was an actual tiger and half of it was CG.
And you couldn't tell, right?
Yeah, it was pretty seamless.
It was really funny. I'm like, oh, I wonder who they got to... Oh, they just got James Earl Jones to do his role again.
Ooh, Mufasa?
Yes.
Yes.
No, he was... I mean, again, I am so blatantly biased towards The Lion King. I love The Lion King so much. Me personally, I would like for them to brought back the entire
original
cast.
Yeah,
but it's James Earl Jones. Like, if you're gonna bring back one guy, you gotta bring Mufasa back. Like, I wanted Jeremy Irons to come back as Scar.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
But I'm happy with who they got. I can never pronounce the actor's name, but I'm happy with who they got to play Scar. But my point is that you can't replace James Earl Jones. Like that voice is too
iconic.
It's too legendary. Yeah, it's too iconic. Plus, he's getting old, so they're like, might as well. Use them while we still got them.
Mm-hmm.
I've only seen The Lion King like 2 times. I very barely remember it.
I remember seeing it when they re-released it in theaters, and I cried like the big man baby I am.
I saw a theater production of it.
Wake
it was
up,
really
Dad.
Good.
Wake up.
Why do Disney movies always have to be so sad?
Because when they invoke that emotion out of the audience, it tricks them into thinking that the movie's good.
That just makes me not like the movie.
The movie made me feel something, so...
Because I assume
yeah.
I'm going
Up was
to
just unnecessarily, horrifically sad.
Everybody talks bad about Up, but I forget it, honestly. I don't remember anything about it.
I liked Up.
I guess they put the sad part so that the happy parts are that much happier.
Yeah. Peaks and valleys,
I just want to be happy all the time.
I mean, so, honestly, it was only sad for like the first 10 minutes.
The Incredibles really only give off that no sad moments, happy vibe.
Yeah. That's why I like The Incredibles so much. There's no...
Are we talking about Pixar movies now?
Like, just sad.
Hey, guys, we're talking about Pixar movies. Why don't we switch topics?
That's a good segue into
That's a great segue.
Monsters, Inc., I think, is my favorite.
I just wanted to talk generally about Pixar movies.
All right.
But my personal favorite Pixar movie is WALL-E. And I just watched that again
recently.
That's a man who followed his dreams right there. Followed his dreams. He swung for the fence and he hit a home run.
Truly. See, WALL-E is unlike basically all the other Pixar movies in quite a few ways. The first bit of WALL-E was no dialogue, just WALL-E exploring that planet. And you get to learn his character, you get to learn his environment for like 30 minutes, first third of the movie. And so they had to be so creative during that process with the visuals. They made some of the best visuals that Pixar has made, in my opinion, that way, because they didn't have the crutch of dialogue to rely on.
Who directed WALL-E?
Andrew Sutton.
Oh, okay.
I've only seen WALL-E once.
Same here.
I've seen it a couple times.
It's a solid movie.
Monsters, Inc. or Monsters University?
Monsters Inc.
What?
Get Monsters University out of here.
Monsters University was good. It was a good homage, but you can't beat the original.
You know what? I liked it so much more.
Why?
Let
the man make his case.
All right, so I feel like Monsters, Inc. was problem-solution, whereas Monsters University was like, this is a journey where we're developing our friendship, and it's like, we'll do this journey together.
That's true.
They both follow the same classic hero's journey, I believe, where it's like, there's a dispute, they have to put apart their differences, then they become good friends, then they're riding this high, and then something happens that pushes them apart, but then they have to resolve it, and there's a happy ending. They both follow that same basic storyline premise, which most family or happy feel movies follow. But it just, for me, it seemed like Monsters University was just funnier. There were just tiny little moments that made it seem more authentic, in my opinion. I think my favorite moment from Monsters University was when Mike Wazowski was walking, trying to figure out what club to join. And there was the one monster like, join the improv club. We have, he forgot his line.
He forgot his line.
Like, it's an improv club.
It's the little things that get you.
He's like, line? Yeah, that's a fair case.
Honestly, like, that and then the dude with the long legs screaming, I can't go back to jail. Like, those made me laugh so much.
I can't go back to jail. So was it, you said problem to a solution as opposed to, like, a journey type?
Yes.
I mean,
even though they technically lost in the end. They got kicked out of college.
I mean, I never even went to college, so that sort of immediately doesn't relate to me.
Well, but, I mean,
no investment at all.
Right out the window.
I think the problem to the solution story is more of a compelling form of storytelling because I feel like you're getting more out of it.
You feel like you can do anything.
Have you ever read The Old Man and the Sea?
There's a lot of things I haven't read.
Anyone?
That's one of them.
You have?
Ernest Hemingway.
Okay, I think this is why me and Scott are friends.
This book.
That is, like, one of my favorite books of all time.
What is it called?
The Old Man in the Sea.
It's about this aging man who's going fishing, trying to make money. He lives alone in a shack. He has nothing to do. He lives off this island. He catches this enormous fish that's bigger than his boat. And basically, it's his internal struggle with aging and trying to prove that he still has worth. And halfway through the book, sharks come and eat his fish. So by the time he gets back to the island at the end of the book, all he has left is just the skeleton and partially rotting flesh of this fish. But he still proved to everyone with this giant skeleton that he is still a contributing member to society and that he still is worth something. And even though he lost in the end, he still is a winner.
He got a trophy out of it.
But yeah. He didn't even keep it. He got rid of it. He didn't want it. He went in and went back to sleep, and that was the end of it.
I would keep it.
I would keep it, too, yeah.
Yeah, I would keep it.
But the thing was, he didn't need it.
Mounted above my
the
fireplace.
He didn't need it.
Make armor out of it.
Well, first I got to get a fireplace, but that's where we go.
Move in a shack.
Yeah, exactly.
First thing is to get a fireplace. And that's your parallel to Monsters University?
Yeah, I guess.
Because they go on that journey, and they didn't win in the end. But
I think in a very loose...
They were satisfied.
In a very loose way, yeah.
They were satisfied with what they got in the end.
Our topics always go into, like,
tangents,
yeah.
Tangents have tangents for the tangents that tangent.
Exactly.
From the tangent. The tangent, guys.
A tangent reminds me of a tangent I went on the other day.
But for my tangent, the crew and director watched a silent film at every lunch while they were writing WALL-E with no title cards or anything, just to learn about visual storytelling and how to do it without dialogue.
I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. I like how Pixar just follows the theory of what if blank had feelings.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, what if toys had feelings?
Yeah.
And then what if fish had feelings?
And let's break what those
if,
feelings.
What if monsters had feelings?
What if cars had feelings?
We don't talk about cars. Cars is horrible.
Cars is a good movie.
What if bugs
about?
Had feelings?
Yeah.
Then it came down to what if feelings had feelings?
Whoa.
Feelings have feelings.
That's the best Pixar move. No. That's awesome.
What if feeling had feelings?
No, Cars 1 was good.
I didn't like it.
I never liked Cars.
It made no sense.
Cars 3 was underrated. Cars 2 was meh.
I forgot. I watched Cars 2, and I completely forgot everything that
it
happened.
It was that one with the... It was like a spy kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it wasn't very thrilling.
How the Aston Martin was
the,
a
the general
was
consensus
the spy.
Was that Cars 2 was just not good.
No.
I've never seen any of them, but...
I've only seen the first one.
Yeah.
They're not like, horrible movies. They're just not entertaining.
I think what we have to keep in mind is all of us... are semi-adults or adults, and these are children's movies.
But yeah, I watched Cars when I was like 9 or 10.
Yeah, I grew up on Pixar.
Also,
yeah,
Pixar movies are deep. It's like they've developed a reputation that they make their kids laugh and the parents cry. I mean, it's
right.
they're multi-layered.
There's
movies.
That, but let's think about a Pixar movie, and then let's think about Iron Giant. Those are both animated films. Why is Iron Giant, in my opinion, Iron Giant is better than some, if not most, Pixar films?
It's because it's timeless.
Well, Iron Giant was that was what Amblin, I believe, right? Or was that DreamWorks?
Yeah, and it was. I feel it was more catered not towards like children, but more like
young adults.
Yeah, young adults.
Yeah. They did Balto for sure, which I love.
I've never seen that.
Love Balto. They did An American Tale, that mouse one.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes,
that one. And they did one other. I think it was the Iron Giant. Because it was either Amblin Entertainment or it was DreamWorks.
I don't think it was DreamWorks.
It doesn't matter how old I get. I was so excited to watch The Incredibles. So I saw it twice.
I saw it twice, too.
And
Incredibles 2, yeah.
I still haven't seen it. Incredibles 2?
Where have you been in your life,
that,
bro?
That little short with the dumpling thing?
It was terrible.
That was horrible. That was horrible.
Yeah, immediate contempt, and he just pulls back. Like, never mind.
No, it was horrific.
Oh, okay.
What were you going to say before we all jumped on you?
No, like, when you watch the whole thing, you understand what it's trying to say.
And oh, of course, yeah.
You kind of get choked up.
No.
But then during the thing, it's like, well, I mean, if you've been through a situation similar, then
I apologize.
You get it. But it is horrific. When you're watching it, it's horrific. It's almost like a horror movie.
Don't spoil it.
It was bad.
Don't spoil
it's
nothing.
It's literally like 10 minutes long.
It was so bad.
All right, would you say Incredibles 1 or Incredibles 2? Which is better?
I haven't seen Incredibles 1 in so long, I can't make that.
Oh, I was about to say you haven't seen it at all.
No, I've seen it. I will say, for 100% certain, Incredibles 2, the animation and the lighting was beautiful.
That is true.
Pixar never fails.
I came out of the movie, I'm like, you know, I liked some of it, but I loved the scene, the city design and the coloration, and the animation itself was just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, you might like personal art and stuff like that. Like, that's what I think of when I think of a city. Like an art deco almost style.
Favorite Pixar movie?
Megamind. No.
That's DreamWorks.
Yeah, DreamWorks.
Sorry.
I forgot about Megamind.
Olo.
That's one of my favorites.
It's really between the first Toy Story, Monsters, Inc., and the first Incredibles.
That's exactly mine as well.
Solid
which
mine.
One was Bug's Life?
We really
Bug's
are
Life
relatives.
Was the second one.
No, no, like which?
Oh, company? Pixar.
Oh, okay.
Pixar, yeah, Pixar.
Yeah, Bug's Life was pretty good.
I will be Toy Story all day. Toy Story 3 for the closure.
I like Toy Story 3.
But Toy Story 1, just because that was my movie.
You got a friend in me. Bam, 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 bam. You got a friend in me. Boom, boom, bam, bam, bam.
Randy Newman made good songs in the mid-90s. John Luke?
That is a tough question. But I do agree with the toss-ups. I really love Toy Story, and I really love The Incredibles. Mm-hmm. So it's like a toss-up between those two.
Ratatouille.
That was a good movie.
I love Ratatouille.
Ratatouille was a good movie.
When was it based?
When?
Yeah.
Like, I think modern day.
Yeah, like modern day. Yeah.
Okay. Because it seemed... Oh, yeah. I'm thinking about the cars. I'm trying to... I felt like it was older, but I'm like, oh, no. They
like,
had
when
the
was
motorcycle.
It set?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, like...
But then I'm thinking about the cars and the...
The director and the writing, I believe, they actually took a year... So in Pixar movies, they give you a year of... Basically, you can go on vacation, but it's for a movie research. And so they pay for it and everything. But they use their research dollars to actually go to France and go to a bunch of different kitchens and just get the local environment and the local culinary experience.
I love the commitment that Pixar has for research.
Yeah.
Because I was watching a documentary on it, and one of the things they did for A Bug's Life was they actually hooked up small cameras to like little toy cars, and they would actually go outside the studio, like to the like the little lawn areas, and they would put them in between the like the blades of grass, and they would just move it.
No way.
And they would pull it or drag it.
That's amazing.
To get the perspective angle for when they were making Bug's Life.
Mm. Who would do that?
They do
little, awesome.
They do stuff like that. There was one that it was one they did for Ratatouille too, I think.
They got a rat and they put him in a kitchen. That's what he did.
Like, what is he doing?
Like, all right, now cook stuff.
the point. Well, I mean,
there's another dead
that's
rat.
That's basically what I mean. Like, they
test subject number 754.
They go all out when it comes to doing the research. Like, I know they partnered a lot with like for Finding Nemo, for instance. They did a lot of
scuba diving.
They did a lot of work with like different marine biology centers.
Okay.
To get like the behaviors of the animals right and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's another one of my favorites, Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's up there for me.
Yeah, it was good even though it's super sad. It's not Pixar, but I really do. You guys remember Monster vs. Aliens?
Yeah.
That was a really good
movie. I love
movie.
That movie.
My favorite part of that movie is when he plays Axel F when the alien first shows up. That's my favorite part of the whole movie. He cracks his knuckles, he's like, let's do this.
Did you know what he was trying to do in the beginning of it?
What?
The first couple sounds? That was from First Contact with the Third Kind. The sounds that it made.
Close Encounters?
Close Encounters with the Third Kind, excuse me. Like, he was trying to make that sound, and nothing happened, and then he just started... Yeah.
He's like, let me just do this.
Crunch.
DreamWorks is good, but DreamWorks has a bad habit of running their franchises into the ground. especially like the really successful ones.
Shrek.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me.
I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed.
That was in Shrek, right?
That was in every Shrek movie.
Okay, good. I just didn't want to start singing some random Smash Mouth song.
It's like, where is that?
I really like the How to Train Your Dragon series.
I hate those movies. I hate all of them.
You excited for the third one?
I thought the third one was out already.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. Isn't it? The new one isn't out yet.
To the internet.
What was the name of the main character?
Hiccup.
Matt.
Yeah.
But you don't have red hair or a beard.
I mean, when I had my hair grown out, I looked exactly like Hiccup.
You really did.
I can see it.
Yeah.
You're like the only person to ever say I don't look like Hiccup.
We got to do a side by side.
I haven't seen you with your hair.
That's true. Well, yeah, you have. When we first met.
You were wearing a hood that entire time I met you.
Oh, yeah, my head was shaved. Yeah, my head was shaved then, too.
Yeah, How to Train Your Dragon's good. How to Train Your Dragon was, like, got pretty dark.
Yeah, then he lose his leg.
It's pretty dope. Yeah,
he lost his leg and he lost his father.
He lost his father. His father, like, sacrificed himself.
But you know how he lost his leg?
How do you lose it?
Toothless had to bite the leg to save him from the fire.
Oh, yeah, I remember
that. How do you know that?
Because it happened.
You never see that.
Because it was in the movie.
You never see it, though.
Why couldn't he just retract his teeth and gum him?
What if you tried to get him out of the fire and he just ate his leg
what
and didn't get him out?
What if they were responsible characters and didn't put themselves in that situation to begin with?
I mean, it's a very valid point.
What if Toothless ate his leg and he just had to crawl out and nobody knew it because he didn't want to harm Toothless?
Exactly.
What if Toothless was like, yo, we need some cool parallel dynamics in this movie. I lost my tail fin, so I'm going to bite his leg off so the audience have something to be like,
we're equals.
Like, they're equals and they understand. And they both have prosthesis. It's cool.
You've been kicking me pretty hard. Let's see how you like it.
What's a nibble among friends?
Come on, Maurice. Just give me a little nibble. That's a good one. Madagascar
is one of the best movies.
I completely forgot about Madagascar. I've only seen it like once.
Everyone be quiet. How long is this going to take?
King Julian.
That's what kind of animal you'd be.
Yeah, I'll be a lemur. I'll be a rambunctious lemur. All hail.
Spell rambunctious.
The New York
Scott.
Giant.
All hail.
That movie had some cool references too in it. The Planet of the Apes reference.
You maniac.
With the things like, you burned it up.
There's so much in it that you don't get when you're young, and then you watch it again later, and it's
give some for the parents to have some. Like, oh, okay,
they can get some stuff out of it.
They're gonna be dragged into this watching it.
Yeah,
might as well do it. Entertain.
I don't want excuses. I want results. Did you guys like the third Madagascar?
I've only seen the first one.
I don't remember it.
Is that where the
circus? Afro circus?
No, I didn't even see that one.
That was a good one. I think
I saw it.
Like
but
the circus
it was
afro?
Yeah.
The one?
Circus.
The second one was pretty good, where they go back to Africa.
Oh, yeah. And I like that one. Alec Baldwin was the lion.
Yeah. Yes. And he had like a pompadour for some reason.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah.
Alec Baldwin's
character
had the same hair that Alec Baldwin had.
Yes.
I just have to find that picture. Hold on.
I remember going to the theater to watch it, but I was so violently ill that I had to get up like at least a minimum of like 15 times to go vomit.
What?
Yo. And then come back. And every time I came back, the movie was just in some
happy thoughts.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh man, I paid money to see this.
You didn't see any.
Was Zootopia Pixar?
Disney.
I just Disney didn't like that.
You don't like Zootopia?
I watched the first like 10 minutes of it and got so ridiculously bored that I stopped watching.
That's a really good movie. I love Zootopia.
Wait, that's the one with the bunny cop?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like the Elvis haircut.
Wow.
I love it so much.
Let me see.
It's Alec Baldwin as the
Alec
lion.
Alec Baldwin is the lion from the Madagascar movie. It's so perfect.
Zootopia, that movie was real. You didn't finish it, or you just... Oh, okay.
That's why I didn't like it.
What?
Yeah. It was pretty real for a Disney movie.
Bro, the best character was Flash.
Oh, yeah.
The sloth?
The sloth, yeah.
Yes.
Why is
See, that to me is solid comedy right there.
Mm. Irony.
With the sloth running the DMV.
That's solid comedy. Only parents would get that.
That is perfect.
I mean, if you just made an appointment, that wouldn't have been an issue. That's all I'm saying.
Or at the very end when he pulls him over.
Yeah.
He's like driving a Ferrari. The sloth is driving a Ferrari.
He's like speeding.
And then he pulls him over. He's like, Flash, why? He's like, what's going on, man? He just looks at him and goes, Nick. And that's where the movie ends. But it's hilarious.
It's awesome.
And that had like an all-star cast too.
I forgot who was in it.
J.K. Simmons was the mayor.
Yes.
Who is the bunny?
I don't have no idea.
What was Sing? Who made Sing?
Sing was good.
Sing was not Aardman. Illumination was it?
Illumination. That's
was
the
it
same
Illumination?
As same
that's
as
Despicable Disney. Me.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. There's another one. There's a third big company that makes animation.
I think there's like four.
Okay.
There's like Aardman, Illumination, Pixar,
DreamWorks.
All right, the cast for Sing was Scarlett Johansson.
Johansson. Who'd she play?
She played Ash, the porcupine.
Oh, nice.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't see the movie, so I don't...
Oh. Taron Egart, Tori Kelly, Reese Witherspoon. Reese Witherspoon was in Sing. That's probably what you're thinking about. Seth MacFarlane, Matthew McConaughey.
He's actually a very talented singer.
Oh, yeah. Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, he can sing.
It wasn't Shakira the...
Like the gazelle, like pop gazelle? Star. Yeah, Jungle Book had an all-star cast.
Didn't have that Scarlett Johansson too? As the snake?
She played
Kyle. My brother did not like her in Jungle Book, her voice.
My thing is, like, it's Scarlett Johansson.
And
like,
that's exactly why.
I think it's because, like, in the original animated one, Kyle was a guy. Not that it makes a difference, but Kyle was a
guy. That's
not
what the issue was.
Guy. But to get someone like Scarlett Johansson, I don't think she got enough screen time as...
The snake?
As the snake.
And she was trying to compensate with just using her voice and not trying to act. It's like, hey, this is me doing this.
No, it's just like, yeah, exactly. Like, it's... Like, hey, what actress can we find that legitimately sounds like a snake? Or who can, like, speak in, like, that breathy sort of, like, tone?
Mm-hmm.
No, I see what you're saying, how, like, she didn't necessarily contribute anything to the character itself.
Exactly.
It just went on the voice alone.
But let me just say, Christopher Walken
was
the best casting in that movie.
Oh, yes.
Oh, hands down.
I'm glad they didn't get like anybody else to do his song, too. I like that he sang his song.
Yes.
Unpopular opinion, I wasn't 100% sold on Bill Murray as a... As Baloo.
Really?
You know who I would have preferred? John Goodman.
Really?
I think.
But okay.
I'm thinking of Monsters, Inc. And I'm
John
thinking of
Goodman.
I'm thinking of the OG Baloo. I'm thinking of like the animated classic animated where he's just hey everybody.
Was he the snowman or what?
What?
John
was
Goodman?
He, yeah, in Monsters, Inc. What was he? Who was he?
He was Sully.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I don't really know actors.
I just think of him saying "America runs on Duncan" with his like
America
throaty,
runs on
his
Duncan.
Throaty.
I think Bill Murray
played the Yeti again.
No, wrong.
No, I don't either. I love Bill Murray to death. Bill Murray is hilarious.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah,
I know that was a famous actor.
Yeah,
like John, like Rattenberger or something like that, or
in Monsters Inc.
Yeah,
the Yeti.
I'm gonna punch myself because I know it. Because
he has there's a gimmick in Pixar movies where he's in every single movie. He plays whether it's a bit character
Mac
or anything.
From Cars.
Oh,
Mac from Cars.
Yes.
The pig from Toy Story. He was P.T. Flea in Bug's Life.
Yeah.
John Ratzenberger.
Ratzenberger.
John Ratzenberger.
Yeah.
I feel like I know
him.
Yeah,
it's like a running thing in Pixar movies where he has a role in every single one, a speaking role in every single one.
He has an
one.
Amazing voice.
Yeah, and the first one where he got to play a character that had his name, John, it was a character named John as one of the people in WALL-E.
Yeah, but anyways, I think he would have been a pretty good Baloo because he sort of has like that bumbly sort of type of voice.
You saying John Goodman?
Yeah.
I feel like John Goodman is too hearty of a man, like even for a bear. Like, he's too...
He's too much of a man
guttural.
To be a bear.
Yeah.
That's how... I'm with you on that one. But I like Bill Murray. I liked Bill Murray because Bill Murray brought that sort of, like, laid-back attitude that Baloo really held. He's just
and
chilling.
Idris Elba
was so good.
Who did he play?
Yeah.
Shere Khan.
The villain. Which, cast him as the villain in anything, and he'll sell it.
Benedict Cumberbatch. I kind of would have preferred him in Disney's most recent installment of it.
Benedict Cumberbatch...
Sherlock.
He's fantastic.
No, I'm thinking of like
his voice.
His voice with
his voice. He's a very fantastic voice actor.
I just think of him as total sarcasm from Sherlock.
Yeah.
He also played Hamlet.
He also played Khan.
He
played Khan.
Yeah. He played Khan.
Julian hates that. Do you not hate that movie?
I do hate that movie.
He hates that movie.
He hates all three of them.
Why?
But for very good reasons. For very legitimate reasons.
No.
That we'll get into in just a second before we bring up my thing.
Why? Why?
He is shook.
Forget it. Go for it. Why do you hate him? Break it down.
Okay.
Is it because the time is up?
Because I asked him the same question, and he had a very legitimate reason as to why he didn't like him.
None of the science was accurate, according to the Star Trek canon.
No, you know what? I respect that, because this man is a Star Trek fan, born and bred. So
am I.
The fact that the movies take place in what is it,
yellow
like an alternate
paper on the
reality
wall
or dimension, that doesn't help.
He broke it down for me. The science already exists within, like the alternate reality didn't change anything about how the science works.
Matt, full.
Brief. Scott is talking.
How you doing?
Oh, I was explaining the.
There's a whole other conversation.
No, I was speaking silently.
But it wasn't silent.
It was
distracting.
On the podcast.
Oh, continue.
Yeah.
It wasn't silent. It's a podcast.
It's a podcast, yeah, right? So, yeah, you were saying how the alternate reality thing didn't make a difference in the fact that this technology still exists, or how the engine room didn't look like the actual engine room, how it was supposed to look, yeah. Or how like they got warp drives wrong.
It had to be reimagined.
You know what it was? It had to be reimagined for people who don't know anything about Star Trek.
That's a valid thing.
Yeah. So it's just like, hey, because what did the actual warp engine room just look like?
It was just a giant column.
They changed that into Star Trek Into Darkness. They changed what the warp engine room looked like.
That's what I'm
like.
Talking about. The three reboot movies, I didn't
like. But the reboot
movie,
especially in the first one, it was really egregious in the first one, where it looked like it was like done in a, like they shot it in a brewery or something like that.
Right?
A lot of water tubes.
Yeah, a lot of like water tubes.
And,
stuff,
and he was like he had to go through like a tube. Did,
a coolant
did
system?
Spock die
like
in that
system.
One? What
no,
happened?
That,
like almost die?
No, that was
which
the,
one was that?
It was Kirk died. Kirk almost died.
That's what it was.
In the second one. They flipped Wrath of Khan on his head.
That was like that in any of the original series or anything. Like they just added that for the sake of story and
no,
stuff.
It's because Spock died in Star Trek Wrath of Khan, the film, and they switched it for this movie.
No, but the reason why they switched it was because...
of the alternate timeline.
No, that too. But they did it mostly because, again, people who are not well-versed in Star Trek, who only know like the bare minimum of what they've seen just through osmosis alone, that they'd be like, I know what that is. But then the people who really know about Star Trek, they know what a warp core looks like, and they know what it's supposed to look like and all that stuff. But then you show a picture of that to somebody who doesn't know what that looks like, and they're just like, okay, what's this giant like tube,
like,
this glowing tube sitting
glowing
in the middle
thing.
Of the room? Like, that's the engine? No, we got to make it look like an engine room.
But I actually way preferred the television series, all of them, to any of the movies that they made in Star Trek. I know it had a bigger budget and everything, and I know Jared disagrees.
He's seething with rage right now.
But the thing is, like in Voyager, for example, the Voyager was my favorite Star Trek. And the reason is it had all this character development. Television series, you have a great opportunity to do that. See, in a movie, you don't have all that time that you have to do that.
Well, that's the nature of TV. Because Star Trek is a series that, or it's a franchise that needs to breathe, and it needs time to like develop its themes. Yeah. Star Trek tackles very, you know, very real topics about, like, you know.
Yeah, and it's like ethics and stuff.
Yeah, ethics.
Like, this could happen.
I was going to walk out of the room, but I was just...
But you got Cheetos.
The Cheetos kept them back.
I am legitimately upset with the fact that you don't like those films. And
okay.
The fact that you
so
think,
I've ranted, now you get to rant.
And the fact that you think Voyager is your favorite Star Trek series.
Counterpoint, go.
I could respect the fact... Films aside. Voyager? Not even Next Gen?
I watched Voyager about four times. I've watched Star Trek Next Gen maybe twice. Never touched the original series, actually.
You
want to
laugh?
Really?
You want to laugh? Watch the original series.
Yeah, that's why.
Oh, yes.
It's so good, though.
It's so good. That's what I'm saying. But it's like...
great.
Dislike Deep Space Nine, personal. Just me.
Deep Space Nine's my favorite. Very close to...
He just laughed. He's like, oh.
That's cute.
That's cute.
That's very cute.
Look at that. Look at this guy.
Threw a Cheeto at me. Thank
Look
you.
At this dude.
He's a Cheeto.
I like the movies.
I like the movies a lot. Like,
they're just entertaining. Don't expect like fan servicey stuff, because all it really is,
that's what it was.
That's
though.
Exactly,
yeah. It was
like,
it was fan service for people who didn't know anything about Star Trek.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
What did you dislike about Deep Space Nine? Have you watched all of Deep Space Nine?
Yeah.
What did you dislike about it?
I don't know. It was like the character development wasn't there for me the same way that it was in the other TV shows. The neat thing about Star Trek is they were always exploring. They're always encountering new people. They're always growing and expanding what they know and their worldview, and they're dealing with the ethical challenges that come from that. But with Deep Space Nine, they were stationary, and they were just, for the entire thing, dealing with the Cardassians and the Beta, you know, what was it, the Bajoran people. Like, it was like, okay, we have to keep the peace for this little area of space.
What about the wormhole? The wormhole opened up possibilities for other aliens to come through, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the reason Deep Space Nine, I like Deep Space Nine, was because a lot of it was also interacting with other aliens in a very organic way. This space station was a melting pot for a bunch of people, similar to New York City. A lot of immigrants would go to New York City, and that's why New York is such a diverse culture like it is. That, to me, is what Deep Space Nine is. There's just such a...
Space New York.
It's Space New York, yeah. It's such like a rich cultural phenomenon where you see all of these different aliens and different species coexisting on this one specific area, sharing culture and opinion and ideas
like
and food.
Yeah, everything you like about it, I hate.
I didn't like it.
That's exactly why I hate
yes,
it.
Yes, I understand the disliking it for not being an exploration show. I get that. But this, to me, was a much more realistic viewpoint on, okay, We found you. What's next? Okay, I'm going to try to learn more about you on this respect. Very it's cool. not all going to be a diplomatic event. It's like, okay, let me get to know you on a personal level. And that's what Deep Space Nine was about. I'm getting to know you as an alien on a different level and all of our similarities. You know what I'm saying?
I do. Yeah, I very much get that. That's cool. But, like, what I did like about Voyager was they got sent super, super far away, farther than they could ever get in their natural lifetime to come back home. But they made all these connections, they made diplomatic relationships, and they made all this that they needed to while, you know, these two different groups that were coming together and had to live together and were forced to live together, the Chakotay and Captain Janeway. So they had to become, you know, one united crew. They had to go on, and then sometimes they got a little bit of, like, through the slipstream, you know, a little bit of communication back home, then they sent the doctor back home. They had it was really neat how they
that
got
just
their journey
seems
back.
Like a drawn out version of Next Gen to me.
But they weren't sent hundreds of thousands of light years away, and
but
they didn't
still,
have the Borg in every episode,
still,
which was awesome.
Yes, the Borg are cool and everyone likes the Borg. But it's still the same basic concept, similar to what Matt was saying. The reason he likes that is because it's different from the formula. It's different
I like the
from
formula.
But, but if it's all the
Formula's
same,
good.
I like it.
That's why it's so good. Everybody loves Star
and
Trek.
And I'm not saying Next Gen is bad. I'm just saying Voyager seems like a less good version of Next Gen, and I like Next Gen.
Only it was a more good version of Next Gen.
So, out of the three of the newer movies, have you seen them all?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you hate them all?
Yeah.
Which one do you hate the least?
The second one.
What was the second one again?
That was the
Wrath of Khan.
I like the first one best.
The first one, I can agree with you there. Like, I like the second one for Benedict Cumberbatch because he's an incredible actor and I love studying his methods. The first one was just really, really good. I liked it because it was pretty decent. The third one was just bad.
Yeah, I agree.
I like the third one.
He got
a
motorcycle in space and there was no other beneficial qualities to that movie.
I mean, other than
I do not remember that movie.
Other than the Beastie Boys song that came back.
That's what sold me on that movie, honestly.
Okay. What did?
When they were blasting the Beastie Boys in space.
Oh, yeah.
Stand it. I'm on your planet.
Telling y'all a sabotage.
Did they have that in the movie or was it just the trailer?
It was in the first movie.
It was in the first movie and they brought it back for the third movie.
When he steals his stepdad's car in the first movie and he's like joyriding with it, that's the song that plays and then they bring it back in the third one.
So which one do you hate the most? I'm assuming
the third one.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Third. Everybody just
humana. Yeah, George Abrams didn't direct it. The guy that directed it only directed, Fast and Furious?
Yeah.
4 through 7.
That's why he bought the motorcycle in space.
Honestly.
Need him doing Vin Diesel
that's
things.
That's one thing I don't like about the Fast and Furious movies. They're all the same movie. It's like, here's the situation.
Except 1 through 3.
1 through 3 are good. After that, it's like, okay, look, we have a problem. The way we're going to solve it is by getting into our cars. Yeah. And then going somewhere else.
We're going to go really fast.
Really fast.
There are great examples of character progression in film. You got the sheriff from Jaws. You got Luke Skywalker. But you also got the cast of Fast and Furious. Because they went from street racing in New York City to stopping nuclear bombs and just busting crime syndicates.
You know some would call that bad writing.
Hey, I mean.
Let's just take the next one into space. Why not? Racing on the moon.
Rainbow Road.
It's gotten to the point in the Fast and Furious movies where
space
why
cars.
Not? Why not?
This has been the first podcast where we have had multiple heated arguments on the podcast.
Making history.
It's because it's like all four, five of you guys are the same and then there's me.
No, we're at 94 minutes, so anytime we want to take a break, we're good, or we can keep going.
Let's take a break.
Yeah.
We'll take
refresh,
a break.
Refresh
do
our
a little
minds.
VR experience.
Yes.
Steal some pasta from your mother?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Oh, yeah.
I am mighty
oh,
hungry.
Oh, yeah.
It's yummy in my tummy.
Matt, do your go.
Oh, yeah.
Matt, take us out.
Thank you.
Now, this is the end of the podcast, and we'll catch you guys in the flippy flop.